Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Speaking of Resilience podcast. I'm your host, Kate Madigan, Director of the Michigan Climate Action Network. Today, my guests are Marnice Jackson and Grover Easterling, who are both leaders in the Turn Oakland County Green campaign. Marnice is an environmental and climate justice advocate who works as the frontline organizing program director with Mothers Out Front. Grover is the Southeast Michigan field organizer for Michigan League of Conservation Voters. In this podcast, we discuss the Oakland County Climate, Jobs, and Justice Platform.
As environmental issues become more and more salient to voters, stances on protecting and ensuring access to natural resources will be determinant factors when it comes to these elections. And so with that being said, we're hoping that lawmakers in other counties, states, see how critical these issues are. And for those who don't see how critical they are, they'll at least see them as being important for winning elections. If we make it so that they understand that they will not be winning elections if they don't actually make policy that addresses climate change, that addresses clean water, that addresses a lack of infrastructure, that they will not win, then we can make some real change.
This platform, just launched in February, sets ambitious goals for Oakland County on climate change, transportation, energy justice, clean water, and a strong democracy, which are all connected. We also talk about how this work can set an example for counties across the state. Thank you so much for joining me today, Marnice and Grover.
Thank you for having us.
Very much appreciated.
Yeah. So you are both very engaged in leading a lot of climate-related work. Will each of you take a few minutes to talk about your background and how you got involved in this work?
Definitely. Would you like to go first, Marnice?
Sure. Thank you so much, Grover. So this kind of happened organically back in college where I was attending Eastern Michigan University as a activist, a Black activist, and Hurricane Katrina happened. And I did a fundraiser where I organized all the organizations to show up for our Black brothers and sisters down in New Orleans. Because one, I was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and all my family is from the Gulf, including New Orleans. So it did impact my family. However, some years later, after I graduated in 2006, I got more involved in the EJ movement because I have experience this water sewage facility in Pontiac, Michigan, where I live at. And I have two kids. And so one, both of them have asthma. And then two, I have also experienced utility and energy injustices. Michigan does not have any quality shutoff protections. And so as a low income working parent, I experience what we call utility injustice within Michigan, because I couldn't, one, afford my utility bills at the time, and I got shut off. Not that I couldn't afford to do it, but it's just when you get so behind and you try to get caught up, you get on one of those big balloon payments that DTE Energy have, and as a low income to moderate income working person, you don't qualify for certain government assistance program because you're on the margin of what you can qualify. So during that experience, and I've noticed that I had to really get involved with this because getting shut off in the middle of winter with two children, because your bills are your utility bills. I'm not talking about any other bill. Utility bill is not normal. It hiked from maybe $50 a month to maybe $300 a month. And
wow.
And so those old school practices came into place, shutting off your lights and making sure that you cut off your water and everything. And so I started doing more work with Solidarity in Highland Park around utility reform since they had their lights repossessed. And so me learning about how DTE Energy and Consumers Energy operate, and also they are the biggest contributor of these emissions that goes into the air. So wrapping around all these issues of environmental energy and utility justice, and then have two kids who have asthma really got me into the movement. And so I do have a lot of family members living in 48217. My dad actually lives in that, grew up in that area. And so I noticed during that time, when I was starting to do my work between 2014 to 2016, I learned more by way of East Michigan Environmental Action Council, where I was doing a graduate internship with them about grassroots organizing and how environmental and climate issues impact communities of colors far more than most. And so, Black Indigenous communities of color, let me be clear. And so that's how I got really interested, because it's personal, it's a passion, because it's all intersectional. And so I got employed with the NAACP after I graduated from Mary Grove College, their social justice program in 2016. And I was employed with the Environmental and Climate Justice Program for about 2 years, mobilizing members to take on environmental impacts in their location. And so right now I'm working with Mothers Our Front, essentially doing the same thing, but just focusing really on moms. I'm a mom of two. So this is kind of like really near and dear to my heart. And so I also chaired the Michigan Environmental Justice Coalition Membership Committee. And so just working with people who volunteer, who are giving their life to this social movement, really has got me stuck in mobilizing people and equipping people. And of course, educating people to really dictate where their energy comes from, and to just really analyze about all the intersectionalities of environmental climate justice, i.e. your food, your water, of course, the transportation, and then also the racial component to it, because we all know that Black people, brown people, indigenous people are impacted by environmental climate justice issues the most. So that's how I kind of got started.
Thank you. And Grover, how about you? Yeah,
nice. So, going back, before living in Michigan, I lived in the state of Wyoming, which is a state with the least population out of any state and still had less than 1% Black population. So I went through quite a few things living there, being attacked by police, having police search me in front of my entire school, having to deal with classmates, teachers, random adults, and the like. And because of those things, when I moved to Michigan, I started learning a lot about political systems, systems of oppression, power systems, things like that. And I understood that it was very important to fight against any oppressive system. And so when I moved to Michigan, I started, kept on studying those things. And in 2012, when Trayvon Martin had been murdered and the mainstream media had not taken a hold of that story just yet, I and other organizers across the country had started organizing awareness campaigns and things like that to bring that to the light. And that was kind of the beginning of my actual organizing experience. And then most of my organizing, as I started out in those first few couple of years, 2012, 2013, had a lot to do with very explicit anti-Black violence. It was all around Black liberation, but it was all very much centered on police killings and other things of that nature. But as I learned more and more in Detroit, I understood more about how structural racism feeds into things, and how water shutoffs, electricity shutoffs, evictions, and things like that, those are also examples of state-sanctioned violence. And so I started working with other organizations and finding ways to fight against those things, eviction defenses, doing things like delivering water to people who had their water cut off, We the People of Detroit. Shout out to Monica Lewis Patrick and them. They do great work, learn quite a bit from them. Doing things of that nature. And just as well in 2014, when things were really starting to heat up with more and more people really opening their eyes to what's going on in this country, we were able to get some very big protests going. And with that being said, we went ahead and we realized that, hey, there are already quite a few organizations in the city. Instead of just making more organizations, we should go ahead and work together and find ways for us to create coalition. And so we had actually founded what we call Coalition for Black Struggle. So we tried to connect urban farmers with urban farmers, people working against police brutality with other people working against police brutality and the like, and continuing from there. And we were able to get quite a few events going with that. Over time, I was also a board member of Black Lives Matter Detroit. I did quite a few different things as far as organizing goes, but just as well, I was getting my political science degree at Wayne State and working in politics in some ways. So in 2016-17, I was actually working as a legislative assistant in Detroit City Council, learned quite a bit there, And moving forward from there with all that work that I had done, learning about how water shutoffs and access to water that was not clean and things of that nature really informed what I saw as Black liberation work. And that led me to working with Michigan LCV and doing this coalition work here in Oakland County as well.
That's so great. So you both touched on, well, both of you have such a rich background and have done so much work. And you both talked about this intersection of economic justice and racial justice and environmental justice, energy justice, which really leads into the work that you're doing in Oakland County. So can you tell me about the Oakland County Climate Campaign, who the groups are involved in this, and how you got started with it? How about you start, Marnice?
Well, so I came into the process a little bit like after it got started, but I know it started with union participation, the Sierra Club, Blue Green Alliance, Southeast Michigan Jobs for Justice, and other like-minded organizations. And so there's five pillars within the platform. Climate, environmental justice, energy and transportation, clean water, and of course, democratic access, because in order for us to have an inclusive, true anti-Blackness, true working across communities of color, you have to have democratic access. And so these are like the five pillars that we have been working on. And so we see that this is a very comprehensive plan, seeing that Oakland County is definitely a pioneer. We have a chance now to really advance a lot of environmental and climate issues. We have different areas that are definitely affluent, with Oakland County being a very affluent county. But we also have our pockets of low income, Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities. And so with Oakland County being, with temperatures rising, Oakland County will probably most likely experience heat waves, higher humidity. It's gonna be hot this week, right? But we're going to definitely experience more of that. We're going to experience poor air quality. Working with the NAACP Environmental Justice Program at the North Oakland County branch, we're noticing that there's a lack of water equity here in the city of Pontiac. Oakland County may experience a lot more stronger storms, downpours. I don't like using the term climate refugees, but you know, for the purpose of this, we're going to see a lot more people impacted by these different storms. And then we're going to most likely see climate migration with issues happening in the Gulf South. People are going to migrate up to the Midwest. This is going to be a place where people come. So we're going to be dealing with a lot of relationships building with people coming to a new place that we may not be familiar with them, and they may not be familiar with us. So we're going to have issues of relationships building in those regards. And then also we're going to have increased electricity demands, especially within cities like Southfield, Pontiac, Hazel Park, which is a low income community. And so we're going to definitely see different electricity outages here in these different communities. And so this is definitely a racial and economic issue. And so that's why the five pillars is like very intersectional, because it lifts up that this is going to be a need, and Oakland County can be a pioneer for leading this environmental climate future. So mm-hmm. I will pass it to Grover to give some more mm-hmm. thoughts.
Yeah, we operate with the understanding that environmentalism and environmental justice should not just acknowledge the scientific problems that are here. We should be acknowledging the social problems as well. We need to be paying attention to a holistic solution that not only fixes the problem for the earth, but also for the people who are being the most affected. Mm-hmm. And we wanna make sure that everyone has access to clean water. We wanna make sure that everyone has access to energy that we all need in order to operate, especially now in this quarantine times where most of us are working from home, if we are working at all, when it comes down to it. And we want to make sure that, like, when it comes to transit and transportation, we want to make sure that people are able to get where they need to go in a safe manner, because there are people who are, you know, essential workers who are not able to work from home. And we want to make sure that those same people aren't the same ones who are struggling to make sure that their lights are on. Those people should not have to worry about whether or not their lights are being cut off. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. They shouldn't have to be worrying about whether or not they have clean water. That's ridiculous. And so we want to make sure that we're acknowledging things from a standpoint of not just let's save the earth, but hey, let's make things better. Let's raise our quality of life while also making sure that our impact on the earth is not a negative one.
Michigan's largest farm-to-table dinner and fundraiser has gone virtual. Join us for Groundwork's annual Harvest Fundraiser, this year from the comfort of your home. Prior to the pandemic, the Groundwork Center was poised to host its 7th annual Harvest at the Commons farm-to-table fundraiser. For years, Harvest has brought together passionate people, including neighbors, farmers, and community leaders, to break bread and celebrate. This year marks 25 years of working together to protect the environment, strengthen the economy, and build community. Join us as we take the celebration online and into your home on October 10th. Learn more and register to attend at groundworkcenter.org/harvest.
Mm-hmm. That's, and you launched this campaign. So all these groups came together and came up with this platform, and then you launched the campaign in February and filled an entire church with about 120 people. That's a really successful event. Do you have a sense that Oakland County is ready to be part of a bold and equitable climate solutions?
I truly do. I mean, I see people like Representative Pat McCooper in House District 41, who is what we call a conservation champion. She is the first person of color, the first immigrant, and I believe the second woman to have that position. She was elected in 2018. For the 41st House District, which is traditionally a very conservative district. And we're seeing more and more people taking action when it comes to things like that. Even just the fact that in June, there were protests against police brutality and things like that down near Somerset Mall that was organized by people from that community. That may have been unheard of a few years back. And so as Oakland County is gaining diversity, as it is gaining more and more awareness of these issues, those who do feel empathy are acting more. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing them taking more action. And with that being said, we're gonna see a whole lot more happening. And as you know, there's been quite a big shift in leadership in the Oakland County Commissioners Boards, mm-hmm. as far as the executive position goes. And we see a great opportunity there to actually make things happen without being blocked by those who previously had been blocking quite a bit of progress.
Yeah, can you talk more about those, the leadership positions and how there might be more support in Oakland County now?
Well, as you know, L. Brooks Patterson for quite a while had stood in the way of many different kinds of progress. When it comes to transit, when it comes to racial equity, when it comes to environmentalism, there were quite a few problems. But now with Coulter as being the executive currently, he's running for re-election, but he's an interim executive. He actually met with us. He was the first commissioner to meet with us. And that was in March. That was actually the last in-person meeting that I had. And he's shown support for the platform. And we've been seeing even just in, and I'll speak a little bit more to this later, but even in just the proposed budget that's recently been released, a prioritization of environmental factors. Did you want to add on to that at all, Mark?
Yeah, I actually wanted to add on a broader federal level, how our Representative Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence has sponsored a bill with 80 other Congress people and other congressional leaders to fund water, food, a part of the COVID-19 stimulus package. And she is really being a leader and pioneer around green stimulus. So I wanted to definitely lift that up, that this is just not, you know, just on a local. This is also our representative actually doing her, you know, our job around environmentalism, economic labor. And so I just wanted to bring that into the loop. So.
Yeah. And I also wanted to lift up that, you know, you put together this platform that brought together all of these intersection of different issues before COVID-19. And now we're seeing all of this, the talk about, you know, with the economic recession and with all of the issues that COVID-19 has raised, that we're seeing that we really need to be working on all of these issues together if we're going to recover from the recession in a way that really builds the kind of society that we want to have. And so I actually wanted to ask you about about, you know, the current proposals and the economic stimulus. And if you think the proposals in your platforms in Oakland County can help create good paying jobs in Oakland County while also solving the climate crisis.
In my opinion, that's the hope with our plan. We're giving like the Green New Deal and all the green stimulus the framework. And definitely we will want to be leaders to guide, you know, to make sure that the work, as far as workforce development, as far as the jobs, are going towards people who really need the most. And then also looping in the whole new green economy, like bringing to the forefront that we need to, of course, you know, we're phasing out coal, right? And then we got definitely shift the narrative of dirty gas, right? And just make sure that, hey, there's the opportunity to shift to wind, solar, geothermal jobs, right? But for our platform, we are the guidepost for to guide, you know, our county to make sure that these jobs are for low income and communities of color, or just make sure that they're making a shift to make sure that they're centering these different positions, and then providing workforce development and seeing that youth or high school students, these are different jobs outside of like getting a college degree. These are essentially some trade jobs that they can learn in high school. So it's kind of shifting the narrative that don't get me wrong, I do want kids to consider college, but sometimes that's the whole economic piece of like college may get you into debt that you may not really want to get into, right? And so there's an alternative to learn how to install solar or learn how to install a wind turbine, right? So, and there's all those other different pieces of being the contractor, or even being the person that trained someone to do that. So I feel that what this platform is giving us the opportunity to bring more clean jobs here and then make sure that other counties can follow suit, right? So I do feel that Oakland County has the opportunity to, within this platform that we have presented to our county exec, that we can be the leader to combine both low-income and affluent communities if the affluent community step up and advocate for something like this, right? So
just as well, we believe in what we call a just transition,
right?
So exactly. You know, we realize that there are families that there are times where, you know, the breadwinner of a family has to go work for a job that pollutes their family's air.
Exactly.
Destroys their family's water. But in order for them to put food on the table, they have to work that job. And so what we would like to do is create a situation where those people who would be laid off if, you know, these factories that are polluting were closed, those are definitely prioritized as people who get that training to work these green jobs. So they're able to work and have a living wage working a green job going straight from that transition. Because just as I stated before, we don't want to just protect the environment, we want to protect the people in it as well. And so we want to make sure that we're not abandoning anyone in that. We want to make sure that it's understood. And that's why we work quite closely with labor. One of our leaders within my organization is Bob Allison, who was in labor for quite a while, and he's well known there. And you know, that informs our work. We want to make sure that our work isn't just for the environment, but also for the people in it.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking to even just the situation with coronavirus, one, Southeast Michigan is the most densely populated region in this state. And with that being said, it feels inevitable that, moving forward as the numbers ebb and flow, we may be seeing more and more cases in this state than possibly in some other areas. And so we need to make sure that the way that we do things is always in regard, always takes that into consideration. And so when we talk about there being public transportation and there being money put towards public transportation, that also includes safety measures. And just as well with because we made this platform as the 2020 Oakland County Climate Jobs and Justice Platform was the official name that we had originally started out with. We want to make sure that there's a possibility of us having an updated platform for 2021. And when we do that, that will definitely take in new things into consideration, such as maneuvering around this virus and making sure that everyone is taken care of even during this time.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up labor unions, as that's such a critical piece. And so,
most definitely.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask you about how you talked about Oakland County can be a model for other states and other counties throughout the state and in other states. Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, what policies and ideas that might be uplifted to other places?
One, I'd like to reiterate that, you know, we do aim for Oakland County to be the example of what environmental policy can look like at the county level. And, you know, as far as policies go, things like the establishment of a sustainability office, mm-hmm. because they're harder to dismantle. When you have an office set up, a department set up, that means that there's going to be a budget set aside for it. And so if there's a budget set aside for it, that means we have something we can advocate for. Oh, we want this much money being placed in the budget for this department. Whereas if you don't have that kind of department, then there might just be, you know, one line item within a budget that says, oh, and it'll be really general or really vague, and then you won't be able to say for sure where it's going to go to. But if you have the department, then, you know, that department is going to have their own budget, and you'll be able to see, it'll be spelled out how much money is going to each thing. We want there to be affordability plans for various resources. There needs to be affordability plans for electricity. There needs to be affordability plans for water and things of that nature. And just as well, we want to make sure that people are replacing infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We want to ensure that people have safe living conditions, whether that means their house not falling apart, whether it means they're not being lead piping or lead paint, and things of that nature. And we also think that public transportation, no matter where you are, is something that people should be able to rely on. You know, when it comes down to it, people pay taxes for a reason, and that should be going towards things that serve us all, not corporations. It should be going towards things that serve us all and give resources to those in the community. And so, you know, when it comes down to it, you have some people that might think that because someone is unemployed, that means that they're lazy. But in all reality, a lot of people who are unemployed do not have a car. And if they don't have a car and you don't have a viable public transportation situation, then that person doesn't have a way to get to a would-be job. I have friends who have had to walk from, you know, they'd have to take the bus and then get off and then walk to a completely different bus stop miles away and then take another bus. And that doesn't make sense. If we had public transportation, then a lot of people that want to work would be able to go to work. And if we had living wages, then those people would be able to do a whole lot more than what they got from that work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and to add to that, making sure that we create a comprehensive plan that link Woolworth Avenue to each nearby community by way of using bikes, electric buses, and of course the walkability infrastructure, as he was speaking of the infrastructure. I would think also including to have more grant and incentive programs to make sure that we are able to increase electric vehicle charging stations along, you know, Woolworth or in these other communities that may not have access to transportation. But I would also think we should put a moratorium on widening the roads until we have some type of long-term maintenance funding, right? It's kind of like we're so quick to widen the roads, but however, we just forget about like the transportation piece. Do people have actually access mm-hmm. to drive? So
having a bigger plate does not matter if you don't have more food.
Right.
And just expand just a little bit real quick on the whole it being an example thing is that mm-hmm. as environmental issues become more and more salient to voters, stances on protecting and ensuring access to natural resources will be determinant factors when it comes to these elections. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, we're hoping that lawmakers in other counties, states see how critical these issues are. And for those who don't see how critical they are. Well, they'll at least see them as being important for winning elections. If we make it so that lawmakers understand that no matter what, whether or not they believe in climate change, they understand that they will not be winning elections if they don't actually make policy that addresses climate change, that addresses clean water, that addresses lack of infrastructure, that they will not win, then, you know, we can make some real change.
Oh, I love that. We need to put a pin in that soundbite right there. That was awesome. And the transportation piece that you were both just talking about, I'm looking at the platform right now, you know, and Oakland County will work to expand and fully fund public transportation, bike trails, and other low carbon shared use mobility with the goal of providing everyone in the county access to sustainable mobility options. I think that's really powerful. And I also want to mention, lift up from the platform that we've been talking about, that there is an overall goal to commit to net zero greenhouse gas emissions for Oakland County from county facilities by 2030, and then from all sources by 2050, which is really, you know, lines up with what the science says we have to be doing.
Well, let me be clear, we're going to make sure that there are clean sources, okay? Because it's like there's these different false narratives out here about dirty gas and nuclear. Mm. So I have to be, we have to be clear and explicit what we're talking about.
Well, I think it's just, I thought it was a really good point for our listeners to understand that there is some, there's, when you talk about net zero greenhouse gas emissions, it also depends on how you reach that. That if you're, you know, just allowing, you know, new dirty facilities to be built in already impacted areas, that if you're still allowing that, then you're not really reaching, you're not really protecting those communities.
Exactly, exactly. So when it comes down to it, we do want to make sure that these things, you know, these solutions aren't just solutions in name, that, you know, they're not just words, it's in practice as well. We don't want to put band-aids over open wounds.
Right.
We want to make sure that we're actually having comprehensive solutions to these things. And with that being said, we also, our main platform, our main campaign is a campaign of mostly 501c3 organizations and individuals. But outside of that, my organization, MLCV, has a has, you know, separate entities that does work with campaigns. And so we also do work with accountability. And so trying to make sure that making sure that the people who claim that they're going to be working on environmental policy, we make sure that those people, when they don't work on environmental policy, that their constituents know it. We make sure that the people who voted for them understand that, okay, these things were just in name and just in writing, but not actually taken action on. And so we're able to have that kind of accountability measure that pushes for people to make sure that they do what they say they want to do. And we actually have a program or a campaign that's running alongside the Oakland County Climate Campaign, but separate from, in order to ensure that the commissioners who we have in office after November are ones who will be receptive to this platform.
Great. And I understand that you have some early victories, pretty big early victories, in partnership with the county commission and the executive. Can you talk a little bit about the progress being made and some of the new things in the county's proposed budget that look promising?
Well, I actually went ahead and opened up the budget before this meeting, so I'll be able to reference some things directly. Well, one thing that's very important to me is that they have actually, I believe in the last budget before this one, it was barely mentioned or maybe not even mentioned at all. But now it is actually one of the first sections that is mentioned. It is fiscal discipline, healthcare, the environment, and a few other things. And as far as victories go, the executive has basically stated that he supports the establishment of at least the position of a sustainability officer. We understand that in these quarantine times, there is less revenue in the county. And with that being said, the establishment of a department costs more, but we're still pushing for the establishment of a department. And the first line item, or the first thing that's brought up is environment. And we have things saying, let me go ahead and take a look right here. We have he says the threat of overheating climate has real consequences for our lakes and rivers, infrastructure, agriculture, and public health. And he speaks that, you know, the most important thing to him is having an actionable plan with evaluation tools and measurements to accompany our goal. And so we have they see us as somebody who they can be informed by in some ways. And he also said that they look forward to working with the board to conduct a comprehensive energy audit. And they want to develop a plan to achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2030, which is something that's in our platform. So our platform is informing as well as other climate activists. We can't take all the credit, but when it comes down to it, it has to do with the masses. If we have enough people moving lock and step to make things happen and pushing to show that these issues are critical, then we're able to get things done. And so it doesn't have to, we don't need every single person to be part of our platform per se, but what we need is for everybody to be pushing for more renewable resources and for the vital resources that we need to be available to citizens, well, residents, citizen or not, residents.
And then another victory that we can lift up is that 32,000, right, is being allocated to the native plants. So I feel that's a victory. And then that we're definitely pushing to have democratic access across the county to make sure that they pay for postage for mailing in your November ballot. So, I mean, the fact that they're lifting up the intersectionalities of getting out the vote so we can advance these issues will, of course, dictate, you know, who's going to get in office from all different, you know, levels. So I think that's a victory. Exactly.
And we've already met with quite a few of the commissioners, Executive Commissioner of Culture, Commissioner McGillivray, Woodward, Tobbs, and we've begun discussions with others. And so we've also actually had a little bit of support from some commissioners from other counties. And so we'll see what expanding this looks like into other counties, because we want to continue building from here. And we don't want this to just be a one project. We want this to be a continuous movement. And we want there to be a shift in the way that people see these issues.
Great. And you talk about Oakland County as when you talk about Oakland County, it's important for listeners to understand Oakland County, Michigan is, as you mentioned before, it's one of the most populated counties in the state. It's one of the most politically influential parts of the state. So it's seeing this move forward in Oakland County is so huge for Michigan, really. And
definitely.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. And with there being a research university, a community college, and then such a great presence of unions, there's an opportunity to work with many different organizations, many different establishments to make this happen. So we don't see this as something that is just for just something to say, oh, you know, us, our particular organizations have got done. We see this as something that we can keep on building with people on as a coalition. As I said before, you know, it can't just take a few of us. It needs all of us to take part in this work.
Mm-hmm. So how can people get involved and support this work? What are the best ways to engage right now?
Well, of course, you can join any of our organizations. I mean, most of us are membership-based organizations, whatever fits your cup of tea, right? So I would definitely send that invitation out to anyone. But then also, of course, reaching out to any one of the organizers. We host weekly webinars on a different topic within the campaign. And so I would say definitely engage with us on Facebook, social media. We do have a website now, right?
Yes, we surely do. It's turnoaklandcountygreen.com.
Great. So you can see the platform there and you can find out about the webinars and other events.
You sure can. You can definitely email me, grover@michiganlcv.org. And you can also join our lobbying teams. We aim to lobby all the commissioners that are in place to make sure they understand the importance of this platform. They understand the importance of each and every one of these policies that we are pushing.
I can offer my information, MarniceJackson@yahoo.com. And of course, you can get involved with your local NAACP branch. North Oakland County branch represents the northern part of Oakland County, but we are really focused on water quality, having a cancer-free society, and also making sure that people turn out to vote. That's the most important thing right now, and because it's all intersectional with every aspect of our life, on the local all the way to the federal.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today and for the work that you're doing in Oakland County and all of the work that you're doing.
Thank you for having us.
Truly appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Speaking of Resilience podcast. You can find more episodes of the Speaking of Resilience podcast on our website, groundworkcenter.org/podcast, and on all major podcast platforms. If you appreciate this content and want more of it, become a podcast supporter by donating at groundworkcenter.org/podcast, and we'll give you a shout out in our next episode. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen in. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. This helps other listeners find the Speaking of Resilience podcast. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @GroundworkCenter and @MichiganClimateActionNetwork. Speaking of Resilience is created by the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities and the Michigan Climate Action Network. This episode was produced by Miriam Owsley and Jeff Smith. hosted by Kate Madigan.